Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
Arrowhead Stadium will host the Chiefs-Patriots AFC title game. Saints will host the Rams in the NFC. Here's your final four. J.J. Burden, former Oregon Duck, former NFL wide receiver, played with the Chiefs, joins us now. What is game day like at Arrowhead, J.J.?
Game day at Arrowhead is just crazy. I think the fans get there like 4 or 5 hours before. They're tailgating. It's like a sea of red. And I remember when we would pull up in our cars and just, you know, walk in the locker room. It was just nuts. You're like, man, the game hasn't even started yet, but it was pretty intense.
Give us an idea, because, you know, I've been to a lot of NFL stadiums, but I haven't been to them all. What is the difference in the home field advantage at Arrowhead maybe versus the Patriots home field or the Saints home field or the Rams? What are the differences when you go to city to city?
I guess the main thing is the fact that the fans, they don't stop. They're standing the whole time. They're totally engaged in the game, and obviously they are rooting like crazy against the defense, you know, when the opponent's defense is on, so they can't hear. And when the offense has the ball there, they know how to cheer, when not to cheer, but it's just that energy that they exude to the players. And I tell you, I couldn't wait to get in the end zone just to hear the crowds rock. It is a difficult place to play if you're an opponent.
The New England Patriots just keep winning. You know, we look at that, and it's very easy to say, well, it's Brady and Belichick. But go deeper. Why do you think the Patriots are what they are?
System. I'm going to attribute it all to the system, which starts with Belichick and then trickles down to Tom Brady. And, you know, they got a solid system that's been proven, and the players buy into it. If the players buy into a program, then obviously your success goes up tenfold, and they've been able to put guys in, and they get acclimated, and they rock right into the system. And, you know, plus these guys, they've been there, done that. You know, when you get in the huddle and you look at Brady, you know that there's no situation he hasn't seen, so it can't help but lift the confidence of the players who's playing with him.
I look and see that you've got a book that is called When Opportunity Knocks. You got 8 surefire ways to take advantage. What made you want to write a book?
I think it was because of the simple fact I played 9 years in the NFL at 5'10", 157 pounds, when I wasn't supposed to be there, and all the different challenges I had. I mean, I don't know if you know, I was at Oregon on track scholarship. They never recruited me in football. I had to beg Rich Brooks the second year to let me walk on, you know. So I just felt that I took advantage of my opportunities, and I really maximized them. And I've seen so many people either miss that opportunity they wanted, or once they got it, they didn't really, you know, own it. And so I just kind of wanted to write a blueprint, like, here's how you seize and maximize the opportunities in your life.
You get a lot of people who have goals, right? I'm around people in the gym, and they say, hey, I want to be in better shape this year. And then I watch them, and they don't do the little things that are necessary to attain that goal. What do you think that's about? Is that just human nature, or what is that?
I think it really comes down to, you know, your passion. I mean, how important is that goal to you? And I always say, what is your why? What's your motivation? If you want to get healthy, if you want to be a better parent, a better athlete, why is that important to you? And I don't think they understand that that why has to be strong. If it's strong, John, you will do whatever it takes. And so it's one of the things I teach on. I said, you got to know, because you got to make sure no fear, no doubt, no obstacle, nobody's opinion will stop you. But I think it comes down to that. That motivation is just not strong enough.
J.J. Burden with us, Lake Ridge High School in Lake Oswego, to the University of Oregon, to the Kansas City Chiefs and Atlanta Falcons with us now. J.J., Pat Mahomes, young guy in this AFC title game, Jared Goff, young guy in the NFC title game against Brady and Drew Brees. How big of a factor is that youth in today's football, or is it just about talent and go making plays?
Well, I think in this case, it's really interesting, especially when you talk about Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes really has an edge because he had a year sitting on the bench, and learning from a veteran. And that's priceless, and you wish a lot of young quarterbacks could do that. He didn't have that pressure. So coming into the second year, I mean, he's so far ahead of the curve. So in this case, I don't think he's going to be fazed at all, the simple fact that he's going against the Brady, because he's already proven this year that he can play, you know, and he has that no-fear element, which is so important, because you can get in some of these games and get caught up in the, you know, who you're playing against and what everybody's saying. But I like the fact that as a young quarterback, he's locked in and focused on what he has to do. So I don't think it's going to faze him at all.
I worry a little about the Patriots, in part because I go, all right, they're old, they're slow on defense, and then they go out and boat race the Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I do. And every year I would say I would be terrified, but this Chiefs team is different. It's different than the other Chiefs teams of the past who would get into the playoffs and lose. And this team finally has that, you know, that killer instinct where they're going to play all the way to 60 minutes, because in the past, John, these guys would get a lead, they would get complacent, they would get soft, and the opponents would come back. But what we see with these guys, they're playing all the way to the end and not afraid of anybody. So I'm feeling pretty good. And I tell you, I love the fact that the Patriots beat them in overtime, because it gives them a little extra motivation to play harder this weekend.
J.J. Burden with us, former Duck wide receiver. Earlier on the day, we had Doug Brenner on the show. I don't know if you're following the case, but he's suing the University of Oregon, Willie Taggart, for a strength and conditioning workout that ended up hospitalizing him and two other players. I always worry when I see people who aren't certified as the strength and conditioning coach. I wish Jimmy Ratcliffe were around to be part of that, because I know Ratcliffe would not have put him through a drill that he couldn't do himself. Your time in the NFL and in college football, you saw strength and conditioning evolve. Where did you see it done the best, and what makes a good strength and conditioning coach?
Well, I would say for me, because I had four different strength coaches, I'm going to give credit to Dave Redding, who was my strength coach with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I was there with him 5 years and 1 year in Cleveland. And, you know, one, Dave had the experience. I mean, he had been in the industry as far as training for years. He had all the credibility. He had the accreditations and all that stuff. But the guy just knew how to push us. He knew what was too much and what was, you know, too little. And he was able to find that balance. And we always got the right results that we needed, because we had a great strength coach. But when you get these guys coming in that are, you know, trying something new and maybe something they want to try that's non-traditional, that's where I get a little worried. And it sounds like maybe that's what was going on up there at Oregon.
Yeah, and I think you have, in that industry, some of it's unregulated, right? Anybody can claim. I could tell you, hey, I'm going to be your workout guy and work you out on the side. But then you want somebody who's got those qualifications. You want somebody who knows what the hell they're doing, right?
Absolutely. And Dave Redding, he played. You know, he played at Nebraska. You know, he's a very good player. So it was nice to have someone who, one, had the experience as a player, and then he had been a coach for many, many years. So we never had any problems with Dave. Dave always had us good and ready when it was game time. Just like Coach Ratcliffe.
Yeah.
I mean, Ratcliffe is the best.
Yeah, I heard from a lot of Duck players who were like, man, Ratcliffe would give a drill and he'd go through it himself.
Yeah. I remember him running hills with us, and I'm in my 20s, and we're looking at Rad. He was like 40-something. He's just there hanging with us, you know. But I tell you, John, I always liked that, because when you have a coach, a teacher, a mentor, someone who is setting the pace and the example, it really motivates you to do more. And Radcliffe had that ability to do that.
Talking to J.J. Burden, former NFL wide receiver. Saints have been really tough at home. The Rams go to New Orleans. You have thoughts on that game?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's all Saints. I think it's just going to be tough for the Rams to beat the Saints. Now that the Saints got past this past game, playing at home, you know how the energy is. You know how those guys play there. I think it's going to be a difficult battle for the Rams. I'm expecting to see the Chiefs versus the Saints.
Chiefs and Saints. You heard it from J.J. Burden. By the way, Alshon Jeffrey drops that pass, ends up with an interception. As a wide receiver, you got a feel for him.
Absolutely. I mean, I saw the interview I know how that's going to haunt him. I know it's going to affect him. I know, because at a pro, you want to be your best. You don't want to be the reason why maybe, you know, you lost or whatever. But that's going to bother him the whole offseason until those mini camps start and he starts catching the ball again. It's just the nature of our game. You know, when you make those mistakes, they do stay with you for some time.
JJ, I appreciate you making time. Thank you, man.
Thanks, John. Keep up the good work.
All right. There he is. Former Oregon Duck and NFL wide receiver J.J. Burden. Didn't even have a football scholarship. Had to beg him to let him play. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's about finding your way. I love it. I didn't even know he'd written a book, and I was sitting here going, well, he's written a book. It's interesting. Self-published book. It's cool. I like that. It's got some motivation.
Got some time. After he finishes.
Yeah, a lot of these guys don't know what to do when they're done. It's why I admire, like, okay, Dan Fouts has found a life as a broadcaster. Neil Lomax has found a life as a coach. He wanted to be a coach and a mentor, coaching high school kids. And Chris Miller, who we had on the show, he's found his life as a high school coach. Now he wants to get into college and do whatever. But for each of those guys who seemingly has it figured out, there are a whole bunch of NFL players who are terrific at what they do. And I think the NFL does a better job now than it did 20 years ago. But their careers end, and then they go, holy hell, what am I going to do? I'm a young man.
They put so much focus into the years that to get to the NFL. So much.
Yeah.
For just a little bit of time to be a professional and nothing else. So their thought is football, 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 football. And when they're done, I don't think they've ever thought of doing anything else. Like, what do I do when I'm done? And, you know, average age, what are you, 28, 29, 30 at the most for the average age?
I think that men, more than women, identify themselves with their job, generally. I know there are women out there who do identify heavily with their profession, but I just think it's more of a guy thing. And I hear it as a common theme. When guys get to a certain age where maybe they've worked in an industry or job long enough, it becomes part of your identity. And I really struggle with that because I will not be that radio media newspaper guy who's 80 years old hanging out at the games. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm just not. I'm not. It's not for me. I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm just saying it's not my identity. It's not who I am. I want to be known as a dad and a husband, and I want to be known as a friend, and I have other things that I want to go do. But I do know that I've been around a lot of people who have lost their jobs, and that's a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a broadcaster for a team for 10 or 12 years or 15 years, and suddenly you're not. You're a newspaper writer covering a team forever, and you're not. You're an executive. You're not. You're a coach. You're a coach. You've done this. This is all you've done. It's all you know, and suddenly you're laid off or you're not. You're fired. It happens all the time. So I think that's one thing that goes on. The only comparison that I can make for it is I know that, like, you know what Christmas morning is in your house when you're a kid? It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything. There's a lot of buildup. The day after Christmas is kind of flat for kids. It is. It's like you're playing with whatever you got for Christmas, but it's flat. It's the only time that I can think of that there's such focus, because all the focus is about Christmas morning. We talk about it for like 6 weeks before it happens. As soon as Thanksgiving is over, we start talking about Christmas. Christmas morning. This is what's going to happen. This is what we're going to get. Make a Christmas list. What are you going to get? We're going to go get a tree. We have a centerpiece around the tree. Like, hey, we're going to put the presents under the tree. That's like ground zero for Christmas morning, the tree. And then Christmas happens. Santa comes. Christmas happens. And then what? Your NFL career is over. It's the only comparison I think that is like a legitimate metaphor. Because I look at kids and I'm like, yeah, Christmas is great, but we better have something planned for like 2 days after Christmas to kind of get because we got a few days of Christmas vacation left.
You got another week.
Yeah, otherwise it just falls flat. Like, you're just like, Christmas is done. Blah. So credit to J.J. Burden, who sounds a hell of a lot like a life coach. 2 at 2 coming up, then Wayne Tinkle. Leave it here. Our 2 at 2 is coming up. Wayne Tinkle still ahead.
The 2 at 2.
Is that a hiccup? Is that the equivalent of a hiccup? Kyler Murray is declared for the NFL draft. Heisman Trophy winner. Oakklahoma quarterback. Oakland A's draft pick. He's decided that he's going to play football. He's chosen football. It should come as no surprise. He always chooses football. Chose it in college. Chose it in high school. This is what he does. He's choosing it now as a professional. The Oakland A's end up a loser, but also Major League Baseball. I think it's a blow to a sport that needed someone to pick it. Kyler Murray, the Heisman Trophy winner, picking football over baseball. It's not good for baseball. But ultimately, there is an opportunity for Major League Baseball. Maybe it's a face-saving move. But the problem is, we all knew Kyler Murray far more than we knew all but maybe one or two professional baseball players. Is that a problem for the sport? Yes, it is. And it's at the root of this thing. If you want players to pick you in the future baseball, you must elevate your profile. You must do more to elevate the profile of your players and your sport. This wasn't a one-off case of a guy picking football over baseball. This was a trend that has been going on for a long time. Blame baseball's minor league system. Blame the fact that there is a get-rich-quick mentality in the NFL. You simply get drafted. You get a signing bonus. Slotted. You become an instant millionaire. Kyler Murray had baseball out there, and Major League Baseball sent executives to try to woo him back into the fold in the last couple of days, but it did not work. Kyler Murray headed to the NFL draft. By the way, he still has, what, 48 hours to pull a withdrawal? Is that right?
72.
72 hours. To the hokey pokey. The Final Four are set in the NFL. That's our second story of the 2 at 2. It's the Saints and Rams in the NFC. It's the Chiefs and the Patriots in the AFC. And I love these matchups. These are going to be great games. Julian Edelman talked about the Patriots being underdogs against the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
It's all cute and fun and awesome, but you know, we gotta go play the best team in the AFC now on the road. So you know, that's where my mind's at.
Meanwhile, in the NFC, Drew Brees pointed out this is different.
If you do things the right way long enough, good things happen. Right? And you play this game long enough, you're going to be a part of some crazy stuff. You're going to be on the winning side of some of that crazy stuff, and you're probably going to be on the losing side of some of that crazy stuff. Unfortunately, losing side last year. Fortunately, winning side this year.
Drew Brees and the Saints host the Rams. If a visiting team is going to win one of these two games, which visiting team has the better shot? The Rams going to New Orleans or the Patriots going to Arrowhead?
That's easy. It's the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's easy.
I picked against the Patriots last week. I'm going to pick with them this week. I'm not going against decades of excellence. I really thought they were slow on defense. They're old at the quarterback position. They're out of ideas. And yet they come out and they just look terrific. Rob Gronkowski looked years younger. Running routes, catching balls. That's your 2 at 2. It's the two biggest things in sports going on. Blazers have been playing well. They lost to Denver last night. But I got to give the Blazers credit. In this Western Conference, they're doing about what they need to do to be a decent playoff team. I don't think they're going to be a top half of the bracket Western Conference team, but hopefully they get in and they don't have to play the Warriors. That would be, I think, the benefit.
Do you think the Blazers are a player or more than one player away from being legit getting past the first round and into more second and...
I want to say player and a half.
Okay.
Now they got Mo Harkless has got this knee thing. Mm-hmm. It's just lingering. They're saying tonight against Sacramento, he's doubtful against Sacramento. So that is an issue because you're already, I think, a player and a half away. Nurkic has been better, but I think he'll come back to earth a little bit as the season goes on. I don't know if this is sustainable, what he's doing. I like their backcourt offensively. I don't like them defensively. And I feel like they're like, if Zach Collins could emerge as a more forceful player, if they could get one more player on top of that. So that's a half. Collins is a half, sort of his evolution. And then one more player that's a good rotation player. Not a Mo Harkless, but a guy who could be in your starting unit as your three. As, you know, that gives him a better off, a better option. Probably a really good defender at the three would be the guy that I would go out and get. But then that's a team that could be a three seed that could win a series.
The thing is, in the Western Conference, those last, you know, three teams are, everybody's within a couple games. So you could, getting that, we saw what happened last year when they had the home court advantage, they lost. And, you know, what happens if they ended up with a four seed and they ended up playing somebody like the Lakers in the first round? I think when LeBron comes back, it doesn't look good.
I wouldn't pick him right now against anybody in a seven-game series. I think that's where they're at their biggest disadvantage, because I think they can win games. Like, the Blazers, I think, are equipped to win games, but they're not equipped to win a series. Because I think in a series, what you find, it's adjustments, right? Mm-hmm. And so what is the opposing team going to do to the Blazers? They're going to take Lillard and McCollum and go, no, we're not going to let you beat us with that. Can Nurkic go out and carry a seven-game series? No. So if they run into an opponent that has a plan and a coach, as they did in New Orleans last year, I mean, and everybody was quick to point out, hey, there was only a couple of games difference between them and New Orleans. Okay, only a couple games difference, but you got absolutely dominated in the playoff series. Like, did they have a lead at any point in any of those games?
No,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, with that argument, it should have gone seven games.
Yes, but it's like they wanted to use the same argument that made them the three seed to explain why they got swept. You know, hey, we were the three seed. We came out on top in a real close race between three and seven. Hey, we got swept because, hell, it was a really close race between three and seven. But, yeah, they should have won some games. Like, they should have won their home games, maybe, you know?
Yeah, and I think some of these teams that are up at the top, you pointed it out, if you have one or two things you can just take away, like McCollum and Lillard, with the better teams, they've got more than one or two things that you have to take away.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them elite teams. That's what makes them on the top.
That's what makes a great team and a great coach, too, because if you are, it's probably like across sports, right? The Patriots are a great example. You take away Tom Brady, you put in Jacoby Brissett, and they find a way. You take away all their wide receivers, they plug in guys you never heard of, and they find a way. You take away Gronkowski, they find a way. That's good coaching. That's a team that's got versatility and coaching. The Blazers, it was very simple. They ran into the Pelicans, who had Jrue Holiday, who could defend. They had Rajon Rondo, who's a big guard. And they essentially just trapped Damian Lillard and said, we're not going to let that guy beat us. And nobody else in the Blazers could shoot. You know, they didn't have an outside shooter that could punish you for doing that. So that's good coaching. And the Blazers just didn't have a counter to that. And that series was like, get the brooms out.
It's a good coaching. It's also hard to counter. You're, like you said, counter. It's not about the coaching on the counter. You didn't have the players.
Yeah. You don't have. Yeah. So I don't blame Terry Stotts. Like, Terry Stotts, why didn't you have a guy try to defeat that, you know, by being wide open at the 3-point line? He did. He had Al-Farouq Aminu wide open, clanging the ball off the rim. You know, he had guys open. They didn't have enough to make the Pelicans. They couldn't punish the Pelicans for doing that. And by virtue of that, Damian Lillard had a very frustrating series, and now nobody's voting for him in the All-Star game, and so he's way down the list, and people are voting for Lonzo Ball before they're voting for him.
I think this is still a tough place to get voted for, though. It still is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Damian's going to make it. He's not going to get voted as a starter.
I think also it's the kind of thing that makes me worry about the Blazers' future. Whoever buys this team in 2 years or whatever is going to have to address this, because I feel like we're like a year away from McCollum and Lillard going, it's not happening here.
Yeah, because they're at their prime. I agree. Like, they need to go. If it doesn't happen, they're like, we need to win.
There's going
to
be a change in ownership. You've got two players who are at the points of their career where they're like, hey, this is as good as I can be. I want to be somewhere where as good as I can be can help win. And it's not going to be enough for them to say, look, we're going to be the little engine that could. And by the way, I'm not going to get any all-star votes. I'm not going to get recognition. And, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge hit that point. People blame LaMarcus Aldridge because he got rained on for 9 years. Never really, you know, they won a series, but never really did anything big. And he just said, I want to go try something else.
You know what I heard? they were talking about the improvement of Myers Leonard. People are talking about him like he's still in his first contract of his NBA career. And he's closer age to Damian than he is to the rookies.
Yeah. He is, but I also think they're trying to get him, they're trying to trade him.
Yeah.
So it behooves the Blazers. And by the way, when you look at Myers Leonard's numbers by themselves,
mm-hmm.
he, on paper, is a much better player than people give him credit for.
I agree.
And I think you're nearing the point where the Blazers could find somebody willing to take him for what his contract is. You know, it could be 6 months from now. It could be February. It could be next summer. But I think they'll eventually, Myers Leonard will find a home that is more suitable for him. But again, we're talking about a franchise that will be sold. No matter what ownership tells you now, they will sell the franchise. And I have to think Lillard and McCollum are going, what happens then? Are we ready to win? Is this going to be a pivot point? Are we going to take a step back? So I kind of feel like this season is just for fun. It's like just for the summer. You know, this is a fun thing. And then, you know, it's next season. Are they going to be in? Or are they going to be, is that the point where Lillard and McCollum go, we'd like to go to L.A.? We'd like to go somewhere else. Leave it here. Wayne Tinkle, Oregon State men's basketball coach, next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.